Hello, and thanks for tuning in to this podcast recorded at Hope Lutheran Church in Toledo, Ohio. The following scripture reading and sermon were recorded during regular worship on Sunday morning. We can be found on the web at hopetoledo.net. Check us out, or better yet, check us out in person at our regular worship services. Blessings to you this day.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As soon as Jesus and the disciples left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to his deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring town so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to be seated. I invite our young ones to come up. Well, as we come to this fifth Sunday after Epiphany, I want to start by saying that we Christians do something incredibly strange with the Bible. You see, we have taken the Scripture, we've arbitrarily broken the Scripture up into chapters and verses, and then we read a rather quite small section of the verses each week in worship. Contrast that to the Jewish practice of reading longer passages and reading from where you left off the week before so that you read through all five scrolls in a year's time. Our practice is markedly different. We take the passages and then we move them out of order and read them around the liturgical calendar that's already, in all honesty, not even accurate historically. We don't do that with any other type of literature, do we? I mean, there's all kinds of great literature out there, but you don't read 10 pages from this section and then jump to the third chapter and read 10 pages there and go to the end and then go back to the preface. We read them from beginning to end. By breaking them up into what we call in the church pericopes, we tend to lose sight of the narrative flow that the writers intended for us to experience. It's for that reason, for a number of years, we jumped into the narrative lectionary to look at a gospel from Christmas to Easter, although admittedly we couldn't cover all of it, and so we were still having to skip some of the passages. The Gospel of Mark is the shortest of all the gospels, and I want to challenge you this week, this is one of the next steps, to try and find not even an hour to sit down in one sitting and to read the Gospel of Mark from beginning to end at one time. I guarantee that you will catch things that you've never caught before, and it'll open your eyes to the way in which Mark lays out his gospel account. So we're in the fifth Sunday after Epiphany today, and with it, we find ourselves only in the 29th verse of Mark, and yet so much has happened in those first 28 verses. To remind you of what has gone through. John the Baptist's ministry out in the wilderness. Jesus' baptism, and then following that, Jesus is driven into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan and waited on by angels. Jesus calls the disciples. And then in the text immediately preceding today's, Jesus is in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he heals a man with an unclean spirit. And that brings us to today's text, which begins with the words, "As soon as they left the synagogue." What follows, Mark wants you to know, is absolutely connected to what took place . The word that we translate as they left could also be translated immediately. In the first 14 verses, or in the first two chapters of Mark, that word in the Greek appears 14 times. The Gospel of Mark is unfolding at a rapid pace. Jesus is on the move, and the good news is crashing into the world again and again as the kingdom is unleashed. Jesus, with the four named disciples, head to Simon's house. Remember, Simon is the one Jesus called Peter. He goes to Peter's house in Capernaum. Capernaum was a village of about 1,500 people in Jesus' day. And this is from the archaeology, the remains of Capernaum we have to this day. By the way, this is a picture that I took 4 years ago when I was in the Holy Land right before the pandemic. Now, much of the ruins and places that things took place in Scripture are really disputed or challenged, or we can't prove. For example, there are competing locations for the empty tomb. But there's pretty good evidence that the house that they found in Capernaum that had references to Jesus was likely Peter's. And here are some of the ruins of the village. And in the back there, you see at the top a little bit of a structure. That is the Church of St. Peter that is literally built over the ruins of Peter's house. In fact, if you were to go into that round sanctuary, in the very center is a glass floor where you can look down into the ruins. They carefully built the church so that the ruins could be preserved and yet they could worship on that very site. Now, Jesus goes from a very public healing of the one with the demon, or spirit, into what can only be described as a rather private healing, where he simply lifts up Simon's mother-in-law's hand. By the way, just an interesting side note. I think we don't think about this very often, but this, of course, means that Simon Peter was married. The first head of the church was married. And private probably means something totally different in a village that's on about 10 acres with 1,500 people. I think you would have been unlikely to find one person who didn't know Jesus was in town in Simon's house or that the woman was healed. And in fact, we read further how many came to the door to be healed after. We read, Jesus came and took her by the hand, lifted her up, then the fever left her and she began to serve them. The word that is used here, lifted her up, is the same word that's used to describe the resurrection in chapter 16. In fact, in 18 times in Mark, that word gets used to talk about what Jesus was doing to other people until Jesus is ultimately raised himself. And from the unclean spirit in the synagogue to Simon's mother-in-law to the text that follows, foreshadow, healing a leper by touching him, Jesus is breaking barrier after barrier, rule after rule to make whole, all while everything is made new by this inbreaking kingdom immediately. So, confession. I've historically really had a love-hate relationship with this particular text. Why it bothers me is because as soon as she is healed, she serves them like Peter couldn't make some sandwiches. She'd been sick, right? If you stick to the English translation, it looks like it's reinforcing traditional gender roles, right? Let me tell you, the text isn't. It's actually shattering them. The word serve is diakonia, which is the same word that was used back when Jesus was in the wilderness and the angels took care of him. And it's the word that we use and translate today as deacon. So think about this for a minute. The first deacon is a woman. Told you, it breaks some gender barriers, right? And it's the same role that later on is adopted in Acts when the apostles can't continue to tend to the word and care for the widows, and so they raise up some to serve. And so within the church, we have two orders of ministry. We have pastors that are ordained to word and sacrament, and we have deacons that are ordained into word and service. So while some would argue that only men could serve as deacons, it's clear from the very beginning women could serve in that central role. I also want to note that she wasn't healed so she could serve. Her serving is in response to being made whole. She models Jesus himself who came to serve, and she models the ideal disciple who, once forgiven and welcomed by Jesus, is called into a life of service by loving one's neighbors today. By the end of the day, they are bringing all to Jesus who are sick or possessed. The unfolding good news is growing exponentially and is seemingly unstoppable. The pace is so great that when Jesus gets up early the next day, he again goes out into the wilderness by himself to pray and ponder his mission. And there's this tug by his disciples who are searching for him to remain for everyone in Capernaum who is searching for him. But Jesus says, "Let us go on. It is for this reason that I came, to preach to the cities that lie ahead." Beloved, Jesus' words address the clear sense of purpose and mission that are already part of the story Mark is unfolding. It breathes of the power of forgiveness and healing that God has in store for the whole world. Within a few verses, that mission has taken us from the particular of a mother-in-law's sick room to the whole of Galilee, and by implication, spreading to the entire world. And through this, Mark is inviting you and I into the new existence of faith. What if we were to be persuaded by the good news of such new existence? What if our lives here and now were to be shaped by confidence in the one who invites us with such promise? You see, the promise is here for us, helping to locate us in the midst of the story and to finally make clear that the story is not just about the Sabbath. The story is not merely about a community at worship, but the story of Jesus will engage all of our stories as it bursts beyond the synagogue and the place of worship, taking us into the rest of the week and the rest of the stories of our lives, with its power for us to start anew and be made whole. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're able. Lord God, we give you thanks for the unfolding love that we experience as Jesus continues to heal and make whole, and as the circle ever widens. Bring us in, make us whole, send us out.